All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to SaberSims DFS Office Hours. It is Thursday, April 28th of 2022. Thanks for joining the stream with me here today. If this is your first time watching, my name's Jordan. I'm the head coach here at SaberSim. And Office Hours is an open Q&A style show where I answer questions from the SaberSim community about how to use SaberSim, about how to build better DFS lineups, whatever you guys really want to talk about. You can ask your questions in YouTube chat or in Slack. Looks like we've got some excitement in the chat here today. So welcome, everybody. Good to see some liveliness here on this Thursday. If you are not already in our Slack community, there is a description to join the Slack community. There's a link to join the descript. Let me just start over. There is a link to join Slack in the description of every past Office Hours video. You can click that link, join up into Slack community, get access to the Office Hours channel where you can ask your questions, get access to our free bets of the day, get access to the community at large. Highly recommend joining up there if you haven't already. Should be a pretty good stream here for us today. There's a couple questions in the queue here. It looks like in particular asking for a few very specific different stacking rules and groups and things like that. I have at least a couple users that were trying to do, it looks like, a very specific thing with the baseball stacks, and then we're running into a bit of trouble there. So we'll do a couple demos of different stack rules and how to accomplish a few of these different very specific stack types, and then we'll go from there. Let's see what else, if I have any other questions in the queue here for today. It looks like that is... in particular it. But we'll get to everything here. If you guys have questions, go ahead and fire them away. Put them into the queue now, and we'll get to them here shortly. It was a bit of a sad night last night watching my Denver Nuggets get eliminated. Close game, came down right to the finish. Our Steph Curry under prop bet also seemed to come right down to the finish as well. So a little sad to see my Nuggets get eliminated, but hopefully coming back healthy next year. I know the rumor is that Jokic is expected to receive and sign the largest NBA Supermax max contract in history over the offseason here, probably pretty early in the offseason. So excited to see how that contract works out. Excited to lock up Jokic for sure, but pretty interested to see how that number works out for that contract. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into it here. Always fun on these midweek streams because we've got games in progress. We've got the main slate currently in progress. So we'll see how that continues to work out as the stream goes along here. This dead ball they're playing with this year, bit of a bummer, if you ask me, so far this season. I know, you know, scoring, it's easy to forget at the start of the baseball season. A lot of times scoring's a little bit down at the start of this year. Also with the shortened spring training and shortened spring training. I think maybe some of the hitters haven't really found their stride yet either. But it's pretty obvious at this point here that the dead ball is having an impact. The scoring and home run rates and things like that for this season are impossibly low for it to be anything other than a very deadened ball, from what I have been reading. I mentioned yesterday on stream as well that is something we are now incorporating into our model, which is pretty cool, pretty awesome that the models team was able to jump on that and attack that edge pretty quickly. But that is something that we have begun to incorporate here. Now, obviously, a pretty small sample size with this ball, but we do have enough data that we feel like we can work with. So when you see these team totals and projections and everything like that, we're doing our best we can to simulate the games with the baseball that they're playing with this year. So pretty cool on that front. But anyway, enough chatting here. Let's go ahead and start getting into some questions. So I'm going to start here. This was a question that came in from Mike. Looks like just a very specific stack size that we're trying to do here with a four stack. So the question says, for MLB, how can I stack four players from the same team using seven players for that team for 150 max entry? In other words, batting order 1-2-3-4 and 1-2-3-5 all the way to 4-5-6-7. I tried adjusting their exposure to 30% min and 35% max per player in that group, but I kept getting 3 and 5 man stacks. Is there a way to get it to just 4 man? So there's a variety of different tools at your disposal here to do this. And I would say it depends a lot on, you know, what you want, or I it's very clear what you're looking for in the four stack here, but I guess what kind of the other pieces of this that you want are. I would say probably I'll show you the most kind of extreme approach first, and then we'll kind of talk about some other options here. But let's say you're stacking the Yankees, right? And you only want, it looks like, so you have seven particular players. So let's just assume you don't want to stack 8 and 9. That's kind of what it sounds like you want here. So you want four stacks of the Yankees, and no 8 or 9 hitters in the stack. Well, if you're okay just eliminating the 8 and 9 hitters from your pool, I think that's probably the easiest thing to do here. Probably also one of the more extreme ways to do this. But just unchecking these players in step one, you're not going to get any of them in any lineups. I'm assuming if you don't even want them in your Yankees stack, you also probably don't want them showing up as one-offs or minor stacks. So that might be a fine solution. And you'd go ahead and do that for every team here, right? So let's pick out another high total team that maybe you want to stack. Maybe you also want to stack the Astros, right? Same deal here. And maybe you eliminate some of these guys, right? And then when it comes time to build your lineups, I know you said you wanted to do 150. I'm just going to do 20 for the sake of example here. You can go in, go to the rules tab, go to stacking, and then add a basic rule. And then we're actually going to need two rules to do this. This is another point where it kind of depends on how you want to do this. So the easiest thing to do here is to say at least four players from the same team, right? Remove all, and then you would want to just go in and add back the teams that you do actually want to stack here. So in our case, for our example, you only want to stack Houston and the Yankees, right? While we're here, I'll show off this as well. So another option of the way that you could accomplish this, maybe if you don't want to remove these players from your pool completely, would be to instead change the batting order spots selection on your rule as well. So you can come in here and say, include batting order spots 8 and 9, remove those. And that would also, without removing them completely from your pool, that would allow you to basically have the same impact while still letting those players show up in other lineups. I'm assuming that we'll just leave that there. So we've got this rule set. So this is another part where it kind of gets interesting. So now the question is, do you want five stacks at all, right? Let me see. Never mind. So now what we should be able to do is go in here and say we don't want at least four players from the same team, right? We want exactly four players from these teams. So now what we can do is go in and say no more than four players from the same team and specify Houston and the Yankees, right? So now we have no 8 or 9 hole hitters in the Yankees or Yankees or Astros in our player pool. We've removed them. We set a rule that said at least four players from those two teams. We set another rule that said no more than four players from those two teams. And now we can go ahead and build, and we'll check, but this should work. Let's see how this looks here in just a moment. But keep in mind, sometimes with these stacking rules, especially if you add more and more in here, it does take a little bit longer for the builder to build those lineups and find those lineups that fit those parameters, but we'll take a look here and see in just a moment if this worked out. So, cool. Okay, so we do have some White Sox stacks. Okay, so we're getting some White Sox stacks that are stacked alongside a four stack with Houston. So that does look like, so yes, 100%. So 95% exposure to Houston, 5% to the Yankees. Maybe you don't want it to actually be that spread out, so you spread this out, or maybe you don't want it to be that condensed, so you spread this out a little bit more. But either way, you should be able to get to those lineup types that you're looking for here. So that should work. The one thing I did just notice here, in this particular example, we are not getting any five stacks because of the rules that we've created here, right? Because every lineup has to have a four stack of these teams, but we've also limited no more than four. We're essentially getting 0 fives. That's to be expected here. So one thing to just kind of keep an eye on, but that would be the way I would go about it. So again, in summary, and I'll kind of walk through some of the other things that you can do instead. So first of all, you can depending on if you want those 8 and 9 hole hitters in your player pool at all whatsoever, you can either remove them from the player pool by unchecking them, or in the stack rule itself, set the batting order spots that are allowed. And then what you'll want to just do is select the at least 4 players from the same team, select the teams this applies to, and then give yourself another rule that says no more than 4 players from the same team and select the teams that applies to. And then you should be good to go. And that should work. So if you've run into any further issues, Mike, let me know. If you have any other questions for us on this, feel free to email back. Happy to dive into this a little bit further, but hopefully that was helpful there. So, okay, cool. So in a similar vein, I want to talk a little bit about, a question that, so Edward had a similar question here, and I'm going to do my best to also answer this. So I know there's been some back and forth in the Office Hours channel here, so I'm going to pick this up with, I see that there was a specific example that Ed gave here, so we'll go ahead and try to pick it up from there and see if we can help out and help explain this here. There we go. Okay. So this is for yesterday. So I'm actually going to bounce back to yesterday's slate here. Let me go ahead real quickly and pull this back up. Okay. So we have yesterday's slate pulled up here. Okay. So Ed had said, here's my specific example. Yesterday, I thought the 4 worst teams with a chance for their hitters to score were Cleveland, Detroit, Washington, and the Cubs. And I wanted to create a stack rule that says limit stacks to max 2 for these teams. Second, I thought the best hitting teams were New York, Toronto, LA, Boston, and Miami, and wanted to create a rule that I wanted 5 stacks for these teams, and the builder won't let me do that. I would have thought that these 2 rules would work together, but for some reason they don't. Is there a reason why? Okay, it's possible that there's a little minor bug here, but let's give it a try. So what we will do here, we'll use a 20 max build for this. Similar deal here. So let's first create a 5 stack rule. So we want at least 5 players. I'm going to uncheck every team here. And we're saying we want New York, Toronto, LA, Boston and Miami. Great. Okay. So we've got that. Let's go ahead and close that one there. And then we're going to create another one. So this time around, we're going to say no more than 2 players, right? Interesting. We didn't get this. Okay. Interesting. This actually looks like a bug to me now. Let me just double check and make sure. So the other teams were Cleveland, Detroit. Cleveland, Detroit, Washington, and yes. So this, it doesn't look like it's going to work. And the Cubs. Okay, so yeah, so I think I know what the problem is here. I'll report this over to the dev team. The ability to select the teams that you want in this no more than rule is actually pretty new. We added this, I think, sometime last fall here. Generally new feature. Before, you were able to only just say, broadly speaking, no more than X players from the same team. And we put in this rule in the builder to basically make sure that somebody didn't create a set of rules that would break the build. And it looks like it is now just needs a little bit of an update because that is no longer the way that works. So, Ed, for now, what I would recommend doing, I think the easiest thing to do, we'll get this fixed, but in the meantime, I would probably just set the rule for the teams you actually want to stack, right? So we'll do this and we'll say 5 players from the same team, and then build your lineups and eliminate the teams that you don't want to stack in step 3. Right. If there are players and teams, a decent rule of thumb with SaberSim, if there are players and teams that you want to see in your lineups, it is generally easier to tell us before the build. If there are players and teams and stacks that you want to remove from your lineups or don't want in your lineups, it's often okay to tell us that after the build. Very basic rule of thumb, but basically there's a lot of teams to stack in a 8-game baseball slate. So telling us the 5 ones that you specifically want 5 stacked is easier to just tell us that in step 1, whereas it's pretty easy to remove stacks in step 3. 3. So easy thing to do there would be to go in. Obviously, the five stacks should look okay. So we got Miami, Toronto, Boston, New York. I think that's what we wanted. Yep. And then we'll just check the three stacks. And we want to make sure we have no Cleveland, Detroit, Washington, or the Cubs. So we're getting some of those teams, right? So we can go in here and remove them. So no Cleveland three stacks, right? No Cubs three stacks. No Detroit three stacks. So all I'm doing is setting a maximum exposure here. So now we have Minnesota, LA, Boston, Toronto, Miami, and Oakland. So that looks good to me, right? In fact, you actually could just go in here. One thing you can do is Cleveland, Detroit, Washington, and the Cubs. So Cleveland, we can just set the max exposure here. Cleveland, Detroit. Oops, this is a five stacks. Okay, you can just set the maximum exposure in the three stacks. So Cleveland, Detroit, the Cubs, and Washington is the last one. At zero, whether you're getting exposure to them by default or not. And then what that allows you to do is it allows you to just start making adjustments to other things. Like maybe you want to even out your exposure to one stack here without and know that you're not going to have those lineups replaced with other lineups with three stacks you never wanted in the first place, if that makes sense. So, but the point here is that it looks like there is a little bit of a bug there with the stacking rules. So I actually, you know what we'll do? Let's do this real quick here. Let's submit a bug report for this. So we'll do Cleveland. I should have this practically memorized by now. Let's see if I do. Cubs was the other one. Detroit, right? All right. So yeah, that doesn't work right. So let's report this real quick. And don't forget, this is up here, guys. Never anything wrong with sending a support request, even if it ends up being like a user error thing or something that's just confusing and not an actual bug. Always fine to send these in. It's a good way to let us know of these things that aren't working. We'll just finish this up here. I'm just typing this message here. Valid set of at least five and no more than two stack rules are in place. Perfect. So good find there, Ed. I will say, so hopefully that helps. That at least should give you a pretty good workaround for now. If you're building for 150 here, since you know ahead of time you're going to be limiting this pool here in step three, I'd make sure to build yourself that big pool of 1,500 lineups just so you have a nice pool of lineups to work with here. But that should work pretty well for you there. So real quickly, before we move on here, I always want to mention this, I always want to mention this when these kinds of questions come up, that remember that, you know, some of this work is what SaberSim is designed to automate for you. That's not to say there's no value in doing your research, identifying teams you want to stack, making these stack rules if that's the direction you want to go. That's perfectly fine. What I would hope is that you are first beginning your lineup building experience for that day with a blank build, with none of these rules, and applying these rules as you see fit on individual slates. I think in some ways, if you are going in to SaberSim every single day and planning on setting the same rules on the teams that you've kind of identified in your own research are the best teams to stack, I think at best you may be wasting a little bit of time. At worst, you may be actually losing some of the value there of using a tool like SaberSim. So what I would recommend, you know, is run the builds with no settings first, no rules, no stack rules, no grouping rules, all the players in your pool and things like that. First, to get an idea of what the slate looks like, see what is required of you to get those lineups the way you want them for that particular slate. But I always just want to mention that because I don't want to give the impression when these kinds of questions come in that setting these individual stacking rules and kind of dialing into this level of detail here is a necessary part of the process, because I don't entirely think that it is. But always happy to help get people dialed in, I guess, when they have specific questions for these. So from here, let's go ahead. We'll move on And get into some of these other questions here. So this was another one from Ed here. I know there was some back and forth here as well. A few more questions in Slack, guys, and then we'll go ahead and hop over to the YouTube chat. He said, NBA question. This is regarding a process you mentioned for building playoff lineups by doing a research build on the entire build pool of 0-0-10, then sorting by the leverage column and adjusting projections for the over and under owned players as calculated by the build. My question, is there any way to download that column so I can then load it into Excel and change my projections with an Excel formula? Yes, that's actually exactly what I do. So what you need is a COUNTIF function, right? So Excel, COUNTIF, you can see I've looked this up before. Basically what a COUNTIF function does is you say COUNTIF, the first parameter here is the range of what you're counting. So this would be the lineups themselves. It would be your research build lineups. And then you need the parameter that it's supposed to count. So you would basically do a count if function on every single DFS ID for every player on the slate. So the way I actually do this is I pull up on one hand, and this, first of all, before I go much further, let me explain. This is not a necessary part of the SaberSim process. This is something that I've done here to expand upon the way I deal with ownership, kind of more of an advanced strategy with these research builds. If you're wondering, if you're watching this show and you're wondering why this is the first time you've seen these, this is just kind of something I've started doing here. Not a must have here by any means, but you'll do a count if on every DFS ID on the slate is essentially what you'll do. So you'll count how many times does a player show up in the set of 1500 optimal lineups, divide that by 1500, and that is your optimal exposure for that particular player. Then I use that number to basically ultimately affect the projections. How you want to use that number to affect the projections does get kind of interesting, first of all. So I don't want to give the impression that there is a right way to do that. But there is probably a right way to recalculate your exposures from a research build in an Excel document, and it is with one of these COUNTIF functions. What you choose to do with that from there is kind of up to you. I think there's compelling reasons to use that to set min and max exposures before running the build, to use that to change the projections, whatever you really want to do. Up to you. So, but that's the way you'd want to do that. Okay. Let's go ahead and keep it going here. Fisty asked if I reversed into parking spots. Very rarely. It's not my thing. I don't really get the point of it, to be honest. But I drive a sedan. I have a Chevy Cruze at the moment. So pretty easy to get in and out of parking spots. I never really feel like I have a need to make a quick escape or anything like that either. So not a back into the parking spot kind of guy here, but cool. Okay, let's go ahead and hit this one here. So this is from Mark. Looks like actually kind of a similar flavor of question as well here. And he said, I'd love to see some examples of building stacks, any five stacks, 5-3 or 5-2, for a large slate, 8 or more teams, 20 lineups contest using a combination of just 3 teams. For example, I wanted to do this tonight with Cincinnati, Miami, and Tampa Bay. Yeah, so same deal there. Easiest way to do this is to create a stacking rule. So we'll delete this rule here. We'll go ahead and go to rules, stacking. And then what we say is we want 5 players from the same team. Let's remove all of the teams here, and we'll say we want Cincinnati. So kind of more of a contrarian stack here. Oh, this is still yesterday's slate. Let's jump back to today. Okay, let's go back here. Delete these rules. And at least 5. And we're going to say stack Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, and Miami. And we can let it rip. We'll make sure that this worked here and goes through correctly. And we'll go from there. So these stacking rules can definitely be very useful. If you are very opinionated on what teams you're stacking, what teams end up showing up in your lineups, your 5 stacks and things like that, I highly recommend putting one of them in there. It will make your lineup pool a little bit better for what you're trying to do, right? If you know that these are the 3 teams you want to 5 stack, instead of just building your lineups with no rules put in place there, right? this will make sure every lineup kind of fits what you're trying to do to begin with and make it more useful for the rest of your exposure edits and things like that. So, but we should see here all five stacks, Tampa Bay, Miami, Cincinnati. And of course, if you want to even these out a little bit, right? Set those max exposures there. It makes it very easy for the builder to find other lineups to fill in because that's how all of your lineups were built. So good old stack rule should do the trick there for you. Cool. Brandon also mentioned that you can go ahead and like edit your exposures in step three to get it there, even without a stacking rule. And that's true. I would also say if you've decided that these are the only three teams you want to stack, you should set a stacking rule ahead of time so that that pool of lineups is a little bit more receptive to that. If we built a pool of 500 lineups and we're trying to find 20, and we knew ahead of time that we only wanted these three teams five stacked, there might be 20 lineups where only these three teams are the five stacks, but there might not be. And it's just easier to just tell SaberSim what you're looking for if you already have made up your mind and know what you want. So, but let's go ahead here and jump back over to YouTube chat here and talk about this a little bit. So Brad said, Jordan, for PGA, what's the best way if there is one to not get one of those 1% or 2% owned players? A variety of ways to do this, really. It, again, depends a lot on what you're looking for. The reason why you're getting those in the first place here, and what is going on here? Where are my projections? I don't know where my projections are for this. That's okay. We'll go back a week. Huh. Interesting. Hold on. Let's see if I can figure out what's going on here. I don't know where these slates are. That's really weird. I don't know. Hold on one sec. Let me see if I can troubleshoot this quickly here. Maybe I'm just going to log out and log back in and see if I can come up with a quick fix here. If not, maybe what we'll do... Okay, here we go. So that was, I think, just a weird bug. Okay, we're fixed. Good. Much better. All right. We're back. Okay, so, you know, question here. How do I avoid 1% to 2% owned players from showing up in my lineups? Well, the reason those players are going to show up frequently in your lineups, and I want to be specific with what I mean frequently, let me start this. If you ran a build at 0-10, right, and built golf lineups at 0-10, any exposure you are getting to 1, 2, 5, whatever percent owned, projected owned players in your lineups is going to be at the same rate at which those players are optimal, right? So if you're getting... I don't even know. Let's go look and see. If you're getting a little bit of... Jonathan Bird was a pretty decent value play. He's off to a pretty good start here. But if you're getting a lot of Jonathan Bird, right, 2%. Bryce Garnett, right? He's a value play, low-owned, not starting off as well like Bird is here. If you're getting a lot of those guys, right, you're getting them at the rate at which they're optimal for the lineup, right? So... I wouldn't worry too much about that. Really... As this ownership fade slider comes up, in the interest of exploiting ownership, you are going to see players get a boost, basically, in your lineups. They are low-owned players are going to be showing up more often than they are optimal as an attempt to exploit their very low ownership, right? So I think a very simple way and probably like an understated way of getting less low-owned players, golfers in your lineups if you don't want as many as you're getting is to just lower this slider. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. If your lineups look a little too contrarian for your tastes, right? Lower the slider. Right? I think that's a very simple way to do that. But I'll show you a couple other ways to get around this here or maybe get away from this. It's going to ultimately depend on your process, what you want to do. So let's say you want to, you say, no, Jordan, I want to keep that slider. I'm playing big GPPs. I want to have some ownership fade. One thing you can do here is just eliminate players that are under a certain ownership level, right? So, you know, if you don't want some of these guys here, you know, all these guys, right, just start eliminating some of these players from your pool, right? Don't even allow them to be in your lineups. Very easy way to just quickly. Now, at some point, you're going to have to decide, you know, where is my line drawn here? But if you don't want low-owned players from showing up in your lineups, remove the low-owned players from their pool. And what that will force the ownership fade slider to do is make ownership decisions of better overall projected plays, right? So fading some of the lower-owned, higher-projected, or playing some of the lower-owned, higher-projected golfers instead of just finding the 1% owned guys and jamming them into the lineups, right? Another option to use in combination of either of these two things we've talked about before here is to set a rule, a group rule, right? So one thing I've talked about here before is to go in and maybe select, you know, let's pick everybody that's projected for less than 3 points here, right? Or whoops, projected for less than three fantasy, sorry, projected for less than 3% owned and say no more than one, less than or equal to one, right? And then put a rule, put a grouping rule here. And say less than or equal to one of all of these players that are projected less than one or less than 3 points of ownership, right? These are kind of arbitrary things. I would keep that in mind, right? Like what we're doing right now is I'm basically just setting an arbitrary line around 3 percentage points of ownership and saying I don't want multiple ones of those players. You'll want to, you know, You'll want to be careful with where you draw that line. I see Brad said, wait, how did you mass click? You can do that with shift click. So if you come over here, pick the first player you want, right? So in this case, Kevin Chappell, and then the last player you want, shift click, and it'll click everybody there. So you can add all those players to a group all at once. So I think that's probably one of the easier ways of doing this if you want that kind of rule in there. You know, another way of thinking about this too, and I think maybe the final way of, or I don't even want not to say the final way, but one of the other ways that you can do this here, and this is where the make cut percentage thing came from. I know a lot of people that have seen some of my other golf content mention the elimination of players under 50% make cut, for example. Where that comes from, basically, or the other way of thinking about this is ask yourself instead, you know, not so much from an arbitrary ownership cutoff, but ask yourself, you know, where's the line of which you would be unhappy seeing more than, the other option, let me simplify this. The other option would be to just handle this more on the player pool curation level, right? And look at the actual individual players that you're getting and curate a player pool here of players that you would be comfortable seeing in your lineups, right? So maybe you're not arbitrarily cutting off at 3% projected ownership, but you're going through and curating your lower owned player pool so that you have only players that you want to see in your player pool. And then you're editing in step three to kind of curate your exposures a little bit there as well. But there should be, you know, between removing players from your player pool by setting a grouping rule or just by turning your ownership fade slider down, you should be able to get what you're looking for there. And for what it's worth, for what I've been doing this season so far in golf, I've been leaning a little bit more heavily on editing projections based on my research build. So if I think a guy is over-owned, I'll drop his projection. If I think he's under-owned, I'll raise his projection. And then I've been leaning actually with ownership fade off. And I've been handling ownership fade more on a hands-on kind of way instead of letting the slider handle it for me. So that's been my approach. Ryan said Doc Rivers being listed as a top 15 coach all time after blowing this 3-0 lead is going to be amazing. Is he treated that way? I don't even know if he gets that kind of respect, maybe, but I am very much rooting for the Raptors. Also because I'm tired of the Jokic MVP slander. So I hope they lose, but I hope the Sixers lose. I mean, okay. HC said, actually, to piggyback off that baseball question, I tried a 3-3-3 for NBA last night. I couldn't do it. I don't think you can, right? It's 8 to a lineup for basketball, right? And there were only, yeah, wait, am I crazy? Yeah, 3-3-3. HC said that rule came up even though there's 9 on FanDuel. Okay, so yeah, on FanDuel, maybe you can.
Let's see. I don't know. Let's go try it. A 3-3-3. Is it actually possible? Let's see. Let's just try it and see what happens. Oh, I see. Maximum of 8 total. I get it. Let's see. Is that something tells me that's not even a possible lineup construction, and I don't know why I'm thinking that. Maybe it's a FanDuel rule or something. But I don't think I've, for some reason, I don't even know if I've ever seen a 3-3-3. And maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe we'll see one here in a second. But oh no, 3-3-3. So there are 3-3-3s. Okay. So yeah, that's not a very common stack construction. But it is possible on FanDuel in particular. So yeah, that good find there, HC. It looks like that. Here, let's. Yeah. So maximum of 8 total players in your stacks is technically not correct for FanDuel. Let's submit another request here to the support team here. Keep them busy. All right, cool. So yeah, a couple little bugs there on the stacking rules, but cool. All right, let's keep it going here. Looks like a little bit of chat going on in the chat here, which is great. Don't see any other questions in YouTube chat at the moment. Let's go ahead here and see. So Ryan had asked a question in Slack, and he said, is there an edge on a 2-game slate? And then Neil responded, play the lowest owned stack and pray. I don't think you're that wrong, honestly, Neil. I haven't been playing a lot of the other like small slates as much, in baseball season as I was for basketball season. Mostly just because they feel like they play very, very high variance. In basketball season, one of the things I was preaching is playing the turbos, playing the night slates, playing all the showdowns, because it silos games, right? If you're off on a game on one slate, it kind of silos that to that particular slate or showdown, and it gives you a greater opportunity to realize some of your equity back more quickly. I think that's probably still like mathematically true in the long term for baseball, just because more shots on goal lets you realize your edge more quickly. But they are kind of a little chaotic. Like I notice that these 2-game slates are either win or lose. Like you either win everything, either you were very right or you completely brick the slate. And it was making my swings feel a little more extreme. So I haven't been playing them. Brad here said, it's funny you say that because I had pretty good luck on the small slates. Yeah. And I definitely think that makes sense. And I bet that's probably still true. I haven't been playing them so far this season. I've played them a little bit more. I played them a little bit more last season. I was basically the way I've always treated these is I'll do my full process for the main slate and really try to be successful in the main slate. And then on the 2-game slates and the showdowns and things like that, I'll basically just do the like push button print money method here and just come in here, build with the settings that are appropriate for the contest, take the first 20 lineups and enter them in as just a way to smooth out variance and get more lineups in play. That is basically my 2-game strategy here in the slates where I've played this in the past. But I haven't been playing them so much this season. I do actually think that what Neil described as the optimal strategy here of take the lowest owned stack and pray is actually generally what SaberSim will have you do or close to that for these. The ownership fade and variance sliders will be so high that typically seems to be what SaberSim kind of ends up on. So let's see, you know, for this afternoon slate. Okay, so on Toronto and LA, I'm curious actually how these teams project. Maybe it's not, maybe not doing exactly this here today, but so LA is actually pretty chalky, probably will be pretty chalky, right? Based on this Vegas total for this. So I guess, you know, kind of a slight pivot off the chalk,
A little bit more Boston as well. Pitching.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess actually a little bit chalkier for this particular, like, single example. Yeah, for me personally, I guess to kind of wrap this question up, I don't have a much more unique strategy for two-game slates than I do on the main slates. Because there are so many of these turbos, afternoons, night slates, and things like that throughout the day, I think the slates are so small that it's generally going to be to your favor to fade the chalk pretty aggressively, do something a little bit different. But also because there are so many of these slates, unless you really have the freedom to essentially do this like near full time, you're going to have to figure out a lighter weight version of your process that can work to get however many lineups you need for these many different smaller slates up pretty quickly. That said, I do think there's an edge. I would not recommend skipping these slates because of a lack of an edge or anything like that. I definitely think there's an edge on these slates. The contests are going to be a little bit smaller, but in a contest type where you need to be essentially perfect, like HC mentioned it too, you need to be perfect, right? That's definitely true. And we can actually see that visualized here by the sim variance slider. Right, sim variance 9 or 10, getting these high sim variance sliders, right? That's essentially saying you need to nearly be perfect, right? You need to almost perfectly get the optimal, and that's true. But those are the sports and those are the contest types where simulations also really help out with that. Because when you're building on sim variance 9, right, you're looking at only a handful of simulations anyway. You're essentially already getting optimals. So it can help out quite a bit with that. So long story short, I definitely think there's an edge. I think the optimal strategy is going to be a pretty aggressively ownership-focused strategy. I don't necessarily think this is something that lowers your variance on an individual slate gate or day-to-day basis in the same way that it does in basketball. But I think by getting more lineups in play, that's almost always a good thing to do. I'll just say, I guess basically what I'm trying to say is if you sat down for a basketball slate on a 12-game slate, main slate for a Wednesday night slate, right? You have a 12-game main slate, you have 3 different turbos and night slates, you have 6 different showdowns. It is overwhelmingly unlikely that you are going to just full brick that completely. Like you don't even win back a dime of any entry fee you played on any of that. Something's going to come back, right? Just because there's so much. Projections in NBA are too good to completely brick all of those slates. In baseball, you absolutely can. In fact, like it probably wouldn't even be that far outside the most likely ranges of outcomes, right? Very easy to go and sit in, play the main slate, the afternoon, a turbo, a night slate, and all the showdowns. And I mean, maybe not winning back a dollar is pretty extreme, but having like a particularly bad day on a given slate just because of how high variance the outcomes are in baseball, right? Even just by jamming all the chalk, there's probably still no guarantee that you're going to win back something. So I think it smooths out your variance over the long term, gives you more shots on goal, but probably less so on the day-to-day basis. And I do think the last point worth mentioning there, and it's worth noting, is that you should be prepared to do, I would say, whatever you're doing on a main slate a little bit quicker on these smaller slates. Right. You know, you may have plenty of time to do whatever your whole process looks like for this two gamer coming up here in 25 minutes or so. But often you're also competing on these. You're often competing with these particular slates for main slate locks and other things like that. So my approach when I've played these has always been to keep it pretty simple. So Old Man Gamer said, yeah, I bricked an MLB and buy a few points. Yeah, I mean, it's a completely normal part of MLB DFS, right? Even just bricking a main slate on its own is probably pretty unlikely in NBA, unless there's like huge, really like unlucky injury or something like that. Happens all the time for baseball. So that is just, exaggerated when you're playing every slate of the day. So. All right. Cool. I don't see any other questions here for me on today's stream. So I think we'll go ahead and wrap it up there. I will be right back here again tomorrow, of course, same time, same place, 2 p.m. Eastern for Friday's stream. So if you have questions for me or as soon as I hop off, realize the question you had been waiting to ask, just go ahead and throw it into the Office Hours channel in Slack, and I'll go ahead and get to that here for the first question tomorrow. Reminder to anybody that is watching this for the first time or hasn't yet signed up for SaberSim, we do have a free 7-day trial on our site, sabersim.com. You can come in, try us out for free for 7 days. I always recommend signing up for those trials at the end of the week here. Thursdays and Fridays, I think, are some of the best times to sign up because you'll get access to baseball and basketball and even hockey still going on, obviously. But over the weekend, you get Formula One, you get MMA, you get NASCAR, you get all of these other sports. We have full support and simulations for all of these different sports. So definitely come check that out. And of course, for the YouTube squad, make sure that you have subscribed and turned notifications on. That way you'll get a notification every time I go live for one of these streams. You won't ever miss out on that. So in the meantime, good luck in the rest of your MLB main slate. Good luck in the NBA main slate if you're playing that here tonight. And I will see you guys here tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern. So take care.